Mr. Thatcher.
Moving on. Okay. Thomas James requests authorization to lease approximately 30 acres in Nassauwax Creek in the Chesawattucks area of Northampton County, and the project is protested by the nearby property owners. Again, it's still in Nassauwax Creek, just a little bit farther up the creek. The last applications were in this area, and Mr. James's application starts here and continues on around up to about here. Again, this is in front of a subdivision called Chesawattucks. It's been there since, I believe, the 60s. Maybe early 70s. There are 18 riparian lots that are involved in where this application is. 16 of them have piers. The average depth of water in this area on the channel is 2 to 3 feet. Again, coming out, you're coming in front of all these piers, and you have to go all the way out here and back down if you have a large boat. If you have a shallow boat, you can still cut back through the back channel, which comes up in the next application. And Mr. James has applied for all of this, minus the Cooley application for the riparian rights, which will be in here. Again, just looking at my rendition of what he's applied for. Mr. James, again, has a little less than 5 acres in the Gulf, 11 applications, 235 acres. This is the second of the three applications that he has in Nassauwax Creek, and the third one will be coming up after this. We received this application on March 2nd of last year. It's protested by Mr. Grant Cooley's petition with 32 signatures. Again, it includes concerns with boat access to their property, the loss of privacy, trespassing, littering, nets, rebar, adverse effect on primary fishing habitat and property values. This is moving on up the creek a little bit. Mr. James's application started here. This is where the Cooley riparian would be. So really, his application starts up in this cove, comes on around all the way to here. This creek is in a condemned area and can't be leased. But the people that do live up there have to come out this way. And the majority of them that live in this area will come up and around and go back to Bayford through the main channel, but they still can. The ones that live in this area can go straight out the main channel. Another little view, same thing. Closer view, you can see all the piers. It's my rendition of what Mr. James has applied for. Last slide. Mr. James requests areas that are in shallow water to grow agricultured clams. The area within his application that is channelward of the existing piers is too deep for his use and would impede navigation. As such, staff cannot support that area. Staff also cannot support leasing the cove area since the cove is shallow, and leasing this area would create a navigational issue for riparian owners along the small cove. Again, this is the small cove area. You can see everybody has to come out in here. And this is pure mud. Oops, sorry. The remaining area is located between the mean low watermark and the small access channel adjacent to Chesawattucks subdivision. There are 11 piers along this stretch of shoreline. The average distance between the piers is approximately 210 feet. I averaged them all out in this particular case. Some of them are farther and some are closer. In most of these areas, staff believes the distance between the piers is too small and cannot support the leasing in these narrow areas. You can see some of these in the cove and even these areas. If you stay off 50 feet, it's pretty tight. There are, however, two areas between piers along Chesawattucks subdivision that are approximately 300 feet long and could support aquaculture clams. A third area has SAV, as you can see, in 2014, And that's about a 20 to 40% coverage in there back in 2014. Did not show up in 15, and I don't believe it's there today. So we cannot support leasing the SAV area. If the commission believes that leasing of some of the proposed areas warranted over the objections of the protestants, staff would only recommend the leasing of the two wider areas that have not supported SAV in the recent years. We would recommend further that any lease area be located at least 50 feet away from any existing piers. This would result in the two leases areas totaling approximately 0.3 acres each, and this would also be subject to final survey dimensions. So again, these areas seem to be somewhat wider. If you look, you can see the health department's condemnation line. It would go right up against it up on that side. And that's pretty much all I have. Very similar to the last one.
Mr. Ballard?
How do you feel about the areas adjacent to the Terry piece and kind of offshore a little bit more?
It's deep water. You've got a channel that comes up like this, and they go through here. Mr. James is looking for clam agriculture, and this would be too deep for his purpose.
Okay.
Mr. James, for his clam agriculture, is going to have to be really among the piers.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. James?
This was the first application that I applied for because I know J.P. Bernard, who actually is a homeowner for this one, was at a function at his house back in February of last year, and when I was, it happened to be low tide in the evening, we had a party, and I was like, is anybody leasing this ground? So I pulled it up on my phone, and it was not being leased, and at the time, he was amenable to planting clams there, so he didn't have any objection, you know, to planting clams along his dock. Of course, his property goes from here to somewhere here. Most of these landowners don't have enough width for riparian. Lloyd Burlow does, as you can see if you zoom in. He, in fact, has oyster cages down in the bottom on ground that he's not leasing. So he's, you know, he's homesteading on there, on that one, or he's squatting on the ground. So he's getting access to ground that, once again, he's not leasing. This landowner here probably does have over 205 feet. So I'm sure if they apply for their riparian, you know, I wouldn't get anything there. As far as the SAV and not recommending areas where there's SAV, you know, I went through yesterday, and there are many places on the shore where the commission has felt that it was okay to disturb SAV. Cape Charles Beachfront, 2014, y'all dredged a condemned harbor and dump sand on historic grounds for SAV. Right at the mouth of Kings Creek, you had tombolos put out there that covered areas permanently for SAV. Down off of Plantation Creek, same thing. Here's a lease by Otis Ansel that, you know, he's got a little sliver here. I mean, I could pull all these up and show you on the big screen, but time and time again, there are areas where there's SAV that pop up, and then a year or two later, the applicant applied for it, and SAV didn't have any present at that time, but it was within the 10-year, you know, not supposed to plant ground, not supposed to lease ground if it's had SAV in the past 10 years. Like I said, I'm trying to expand my operation, and I really don't want the channel. I just want the shallow water between the docks. There are other areas in Plantation Creek, Aspotics Creek, where there are docks, where leases, you know, if there were docks there, and you all leased in and around the docks. So there's a precedent been set for that. Like I said, got over 100 parcels where it's been carved out, some as close as, I believe, 18 feet in Plantation Creek. One person's application started and stopped again at each of the docks. that would be Danny Long in Plantation Creek. I said, probably only get one bed length out on some of these. He said that this parcel is probably mud, but I applied for basically the fill-in area that was there. Not that I was looking to use any of it, but it's like some of this ground is deep water, and they applied for what was there at the time.
Questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Mr. Ballard?
If we were to consider granting you the offshore pieces, the deep water, and it looks like there is some shallow water in there that might be somewhat leasable, would you be interested in amending your application to that, or are you truly just looking for around the docks?
Like I said, it's got to be 2 foot or less at low tide for me to be any good.
Okay.
Yeah. When I originally put the application in, and what popped up, what I had applied for was around the shoreline, right. And what got popped up, they put it out around the end of the docks, and that's why I wrote the letter to Paul and to Hank and said that, I'm not doing scuba diving. Got no use for that area.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to testify on this matter, either pro or con? Please come forward. Mr. Stevens, you're already sworn in from the previous testimony.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to bore you or abuse my time by repeating what I said on the earlier application. I will say I thought Commissioner Ballard's comments were very well taken in the commission's discussion. Your job is to balance, and as far as I'm concerned, you do a good job with it. And it's not easy to say no to a lease applicant. This is a way to make a living. But I would say that my prior comments on agenda items 6 and 7 would apply in spades, doubled and redoubled to this lease application. I know this shoreline well. Chandler House, where I live, is right up here. Here's the dock that's been there for probably 100 years. Maybe not those same boards. Good enough. And Mr. James hit the nail right on the head. That cove up in there is almost all mud, some of it hip deep. You wouldn't grow clams in there anyway. The shoreline. There is deep channel right up against that line next to PG in the light blue. There is deep channel in there. It's too deep for growing clams. Then you try to pick little pieces along that shoreline. A lot of that shoreline, the shallow water, is a very skinny piece. Shorter than the docks you see. And you have the same use conflicts all the way along there. Somebody's fishing off their dock. Somebody's throwing crab pots in. Somebody's bringing the boat in. It doesn't make sense to lease this property up. And that's with all the personal feelings I said earlier about making a living off the water. There's plenty of better places to do it. And I'm sorry this comes from the Eastern Shore, too. That hit home with me. The watermen there are our lifeblood, and we appreciate them. We love it. It's just the wrong place to lease up, and it's not that there aren't other options. And I know you're all well aware of that. If there's any questions on this one, I'd be happy to answer.
Mr. Baylor.
If the applicant were to amend his application to be offshore of the piers, whether he can successfully grow clams or not, I don't really view as the commission's decision. perhaps he'd be doing cage aquaculture or something. Would you be in favor of that?
I would not. That's a primary. You've got to more or less, you don't have to hug the end of those docks, but the channel to get in and out of there, you've got to, let's see.
I can do it.
Yeah. The channel to get in and out of there is a little wider than the one you looked at earlier. But it's heavily used, particularly in the summer, and I'd say 10 months a year for recreational purposes. People fish that channel all the time, and it's not a good place to put oyster cages. It could be used for that, there's no doubt about it. But it's not, because of the boat traffic and the recreational use of that channel, people pot crabs in there, commercial and recreational. People fish in there all the time. And there is fairly heavy boat traffic in there. Now, some of it's probably deep enough to take a 6-inch or 12-inch cage. But I wouldn't recommend it, just given the intensity of the use of that channel.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Anybody else wish to testify on this application? Please come forward, sir. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Carl Leroy Emler.
Welcome, Mr. Emler.
Thank you. I'll show. Could you flip back to that other aerial photograph, please? I'll show you where I am. Right here, that's my pier. My house is about there. If you will notice that some of the houses are less than 150 foot away from the water. Also, I'd like to mention that the entrance to the boat lift, almost all of these places have boat lifts, some of them too, is not a direct coming in that way. If you get into my boat lift, I've got to come up here and come down. I got a 25 foot. 50 foot really doesn't give me very much room to get in and out of my boat lift. This gentleman here has two boat lifts. This one here, he has to come around to get into that. Some of the rest of them are the same way. They have to come in from the water. That usually takes quite a distance because the wind around here means you have to line up on there or you're not going to get into your boat lift or into your pier area. For the time, I don't want to go across all the things that Mr. Stevens has mentioned, which I agree with. Mainly, it's, I think 50 foot is a little bit close for fishing, fishing off one's pier. Certainly not enough room to get your boat in. Also, being about 150 foot away from the water for people working out there, that kind of gets a little close for people talking. You're sitting there and it's your place, you have friends, you're trying to talk, these people are out there working, they're hearing what you're saying, we're hearing what they're saying. I think it's just a little bit of not the right place for the two people, the two things here to work together with each other. And I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have.
Questions from the commission? I don't see any. Thank you, Mr. Emler. Does anybody else want to testify in this particular matter? James, you want to wrap it up? You got anything to add?
No, sir. Don't really have anything to add. How many more rights the landowner is going to get?
If you're going to have anything to say, please say it into the microphone.
Right now, there have been many docks that have been put across. I mean, friends of mine that have had oyster ground leases, and the land applicant, somebody decides to put a house up, and then they decide to put a dock there. They can plow right across somebody's oyster ground without really much say in it, other than you got a year and a half to get your clams off of there.
That's the law.
Riparian, you got to have 205 feet worth of frontage and you can pick and choose where you want to. Most of these applicants had the same choice that I did. They could have applied for the ground. If they didn't have riparian, if they did have riparian, they could have applied for it too. I don't want the area outside that's going to hinder access to the docks, because, you know, if it's deep enough that you can get a boat there, it's too deep for my use. So, you know, getting to the boat lifts, you know, I'm not going to be in and around that area because it's going to be too deep. They're just trying to find real estate where I can put some clams. As far as user conflicts, anybody right now could go and anchor their boat in any of those spaces between their docks and do whatever they want to, and there's not a thing that the landowner can do. I mean, I could go out there right now and plant clams on there, but I run the risk of somebody coming in and stealing them from me. But it's still the same operation, and there's nothing that really can stop me from doing it, other than, you know, the VMRC can come and say, what are you doing there? But, you know, because technically right now, all that is ground fair game for the public. You know, I can't stop the ground that I do have. Can't stop from somebody putting crab pots on my nets. I can't stop recreational fishermen from coming in, and I find many a lure on my nets right now. And that's ground that I'm, you know, legitimately leasing from the state, so nobody's looking out for my interest. That's all I have.
Thank you, sir. Last call. Anybody in the audience wish to testify on this matter one way or another, pro or con? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Erskine.
So I appreciate the applicant is trying to find, you know, suitable ground to expand your business, and that's commendable. And I appreciate, once again, as the previous agenda item, that the protestants have an issue in this area. My comments previously still hold, that there are some areas to lease that are appropriate and some that are not. But I do want to work hard here to find the applicant something that he may be able to continue his operation or expand his operation. I think that is important that this commission demonstrate that there would be some areas available to lease. Mr. Ballard suggested, and I thought it was a good one, between the current Terry lease and the Bass lease up there. I understand maybe that's deeper water. It's not conducive to clam culture. But I hope you would understand that the commission's working hard to try and find an area that would be suitable for you to lease. So I'd like to see the commission try and work with the applicant to get some area that might be usable.
Mr. Ballard.
Yeah, and I would also add, as much as we've made Lynn Haven comparisons to these past discussions, that the applicant is correct in that along the eastern shore there are clam beds within these little areas in between docks. Most of them that I'm familiar with are not quite as developed as subdivisions, much longer areas, and typically they are more friendly relationships with the homeowners that haven't objected to them, at least the ones I'm aware of. Part of me does look at those areas. It's a third of an acre, a third of an acre. I know in terms of total acres, that doesn't seem like a lot, but you can grow, you could plant roughly 600,000 clams a year on those two-thirds of an acre, which can make a decent living for someone. These are tough situations, I feel like. And the applicant has said he's interested in clam culture, not oyster culture, so the deep water doesn't work for him. I do tend to agree that there could be some better areas to work in, and this looks like a tough application, but I'm torn. It's tough.
Mr. Zeter.
I think we got the same situation we had the last couple of issues here. The anytime you can be putting these cages between piers, you're asking for problems. And you're restricting the use of the land there. And you heard the applicant said, well, if you stick him out 50 feet past the pier, the water's too deep. And he doesn't want the deep water. And to me, this looks like it's got a lot more piers than the last ones we had. And so we're just asking for trouble to try to take a little tenth of an acre here, three-tenths of an acre there. Besides that, the one up at the top of the screen is right next to a condemned area. And so that raises some concern with me. So my vote's going to be the same as it was for the 6 and 7.
Mr. Fritz.
Yes. I have a question for staff. Those two blue boxes that could be potential lease areas, and the upland side, are they protested the upland landowners off these blue boxes?
I couldn't tell from the signatures where they were from.
Thank you.
Mr. Pellet.
I would just add that there's a difference between clam nets and oyster cages. Clam nets are generally less than 6 inches off the bottom. In fact, they become part of the bottom. They're mounted with sand. You can walk over them. Generally not a hazard to navigation in any way. That being said, I'm still not sure what my vote would be on this. I'd be curious to hear from Mr. James whether he would be interested in these 0.3 acres and 0.3 acres, or whether that wouldn't make sense for his operation to have that little of ground in such a unique area.
Mr. James, please come forward.
I'll be happy with any ground that I can get. I know that the lower one, Lloyd Burlow, more than likely will apply for his riparian. He has enough frontage, so that would probably wipe that one out. I don't know the distance on the upper one, but I would suspect if that last dock that we see is that person's shoreline and he cuts around the corner, he probably has enough to make that one go away as well.
Mr. Erskine.
In light of the testimony we've heard, what Mr. James said with the three-tenths of an acre areas and not wanting the deep water lease, I'd make a motion to deny the lease application.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Erskine and a second by Mr. Miner. Discussion. Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. That application is denied unanimously as well.